Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Snap back, Trubisky to wind up, throw down the right side for Miller. Over the shoulder catch.
Touchdown.
Makes the gap. Touchdown. Touchdown, Bears. Almost like Thanksgiving Day near the two-yard line. An over-the-shoulder throw and a beauty by Mitchell Trubisky. Anthony Miller about to get mobbed in the end zone. He beat his man by a step. Beautifully thrown. Perfectly thrown. Just caught the pylon near side of the end zone. And the Bears have taken the lead on Detroit. 26-23. 1:54 to go.
We're back with more of the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now. And MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Welcome back, everybody. Olin Kreutz, Patrick Manley. I'm Hub Arkush. We are broadcasting live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. We've got your Bet Rivers Sports Game pregame show presented by New Mail Med, and it is great to be with you guys on a Sunday morning in Chicago, an NFL Sunday morning. This just kind of feels, it's not, you know, the whole Bears weather thing. We don't need it to be below zero, but it's a football Sunday. It's nice and crisp out there. Going to be overcast out by the lake, but should be fairly calm conditions. Bears, Lions, and Patrick, let me come to you first this time. It's kind of the question, or one of the key questions people have been focused on all week long. Fortunately, you guys over all those years didn't have a lot of stretches like this. This five-game losing streak is about as ugly as it gets, but it happened a few times. What is it? How hard is it to keep the focus and not let the mood go south, not let the attitude go south, not turn negative, and get this thing turned around?
I think the one to actually ask is Olin, because Olin, you guys, the leaders like Olin, Urlacher, all those guys, they found ways to keep it fun. They found ways to keep us focused. I think it goes to the leadership in the locker room. It goes to the leadership on the offense to take care of the offense. It goes to the leadership on the defense to take care of the defense and make sure guys are doing everything they can possibly. Just, you know, don't miss your workouts during the week. You know, don't skip anything. Don't skip any film sessions. Do extra. Do every little thing more to get yourself prepared for Sunday, because sometimes you get in these little ruts. Maybe it's because of injuries, you got backups playing, or whatever it is, you just have to focus a little more. And I always leaned on the leadership in the locker room of Olin, Urlacher, all the other guys that just made sure that they were doing the right thing every time. They were doing the little extra, and if you let up, they would get on you. And I think that's the key you have to do, that the locker room has to do, is kind of police each other. And Olin, I think you probably agree with that.
Oh, yeah, and I love it, man. Like, let's do it. Like, hey, no, because, listen, Pat is being humble. Pat was a big part of the leader. We all leaned on Pat, too. He did an amazing job. He did. And then, look, we're joking around here, but we had really good leaders in that locker room, right, Pat, through times mm-hmm. like this. And the one thing when we do get together is we always talk about how much fun we had, how many good guys we had in that locker room. And this is going to show, Hub, no one really knows how they're going to respond here, Pat, to what they're going through, because like Hub mentioned, this is not easy. You lose five games in the NFL. The finger pointing obviously starts. Nobody wants it to be their fault. This offense has been bad for a long time now. I think the one thing that makes the leading hopefully a little easier is that they're still looking at a playoff berth, a playoff mm-hmm. shot. They're still in the race. If they were completely out, That's when it gets really hard to keep guys focused, to keep guys all moving in the same direction. They have a tough thing right now, a balancing act that's going on, Hub. And you brought it up in the beginning of our program with Coach Nagy calling out the defense. And then they talked about it all week about how, okay, Coach Nagy came to talk to us to make sure we didn't take that the wrong way. And we didn't take it the wrong way. And we're ready to play. But we'll see. We'll see as this goes on. The leadership, the character in that building, which this team has shown to be pretty strong under Coach Nagy through some tough times. Obviously, this is the toughest time they've been going through, Pat. But as you said, Pat, leadership is big here, keeping everybody moving in the right direction, keeping the energy up, keeping everybody focused, working hard during the week. And really, that takes the whole building. That takes everybody that's at Halas Hall is involved in turning this thing around.
Yeah, and Olin, you mentioned the big thing, too, is there's still something to sell there. Matt Nagy still has the playoffs to sell. I know I'm reading the text line here, and everybody's saying there's no way they're going to the playoffs. But you
don't
can't
say
go
that,
to work.
Man. Don't say
you,
that.
I know. You can't go to work and not believe it when it is still there in front of you.
Hey, Pat, so, it's the only thing making me keep watching these guys.
I'm trying to sell myself right now.
I'm selling myself on it. They got a good run at this. Arizona's got tough games left. The Vikings got tough games left. San Fran's got an uphill battle. So hopefully the Bears can pull this thing back together. But they are going through a really tough time right now when you lose a bunch of games like that in a row. Yeah. And then, you know, obviously it's just human nature to be saying, this is not my fault. You know, you heard a comment, I think, by Anthony Miller this week, Hub. I don't know where he answered that, but he said, you know, we got to call the plays that we actually practice, which I found interesting and confusing at the same time. But just things like that. Things like, okay, somebody's got to go grab him in a locker room and say, look, man, like everything we're going through here right now, we're just trying to win games. Saying things like that does not help our cause.
Oh, and I'm so glad that you focused on that because I was on that call. And the minute he said it, I thought, oh boy, you know, because I don't know. I mean, I don't pretend to know Anthony well. He's a young man, but I don't think he was taking a shot at the coaches. I think he was just saying, you know, we got to call the plays that we run in practice and execute them. But he tends to be kind of deadpan in those things, and you can't really tell from his tone or his inflection. And I left that 50-50 thinking to myself, did he just take a shot at the play calling or not? I don't think he did, but that's the kind of stuff that gets magnified when you're stuck in a rut like these guys are right now.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And Olin, you mentioned, you know, you would go to him as a team leader and say something, hey, you can't be talking that way. And that's important. The leadership in the locker room needs to handle that and make sure that it doesn't get misinterpreted. Even if he misspoke, just kind of give that blah talk right now to the media. Don't give anything to sell to make it turn a little worse in the locker room. Olin, I just loved it. When you used to read every single clip of guys, and you would get on them and have fun during the stretch, and sometimes in a fun way, sometimes in a mean way. But I think it depended on who it was to kind of tell them to shut their mouth and say the right thing. And I think that's important now for the Bears and the leadership to do that.
It is important. And like you know, Pat, as great as a leader as we like to all imagine we were, and our locker room was great. Sometimes, some years, you lost everybody.
Yeah.
And that's what you start to worry about when you hear comments like that. And, you know, there'd be times when, you or I would go talk to someone in a locker room or try to lead, and you could just see that people weren't listening anymore. That there are times when you do lose that locker room, and hopefully the Bears can get it moving in the right direction. You just worry about when you start hearing things like that come out where, you know, like we've been in there, Pat, where they're in meeting rooms and positions are separating themselves from other positions. And if they would just do this, and you know, if the quarterback would just do it, if the guy would just call this play. So they got to try to get this offense going on the right track, Pat, you know, Pat and Hub, and really just the big thing is that offense moving the ball today, putting the ball in the end zone and protecting the ball. You know, those 10 turnovers that they've had in their 5-game losing streak with only 3 takeaways, that is a huge part of why they are losing games. So those are two things they got to get corrected and get corrected pretty quickly here.
Guys, let's just do this real quick. We're going to have to break it, and not have to. I want to because we've got And I say every week a special treat. It is always a special treat. I love the Where Are They Now segment. Your former teammate, Terrence Metcalf, is going to join us. We're going to visit with him.
He's DK's dad. He goes by that now. I go by well, DK. He's not even Terrence anymore, huh?
I would.
I'm going to let you guys do that. I've been thinking about this all week, and I want to focus on his career because I don't want to be the guy who got him just for his son. Terrence, 9-year NFL career, outstanding NFL career, and yes, he is DK Metcalf's dad, and if you're not living under a rock, you know who DK Metcalf is right now. But before we do that, Jordan Malley does such a great job producing for us, and he's actually got that clip of Anthony Miller, and rather than, you know, trust my interpretation, let's listen to what Anthony said, and you know, you guys tell me. I mean, was this just a young player talking without thinking, or maybe is he suggesting that you know, they're not calling all the right plays? Go ahead and roll that for us, if you would, please, Jordan.
What needs to happen for this offense to get clicking on Sunday?
The plays that we practice and that we execute in practice, they need to be called when we get to the game on Sunday. We know we can execute them. You know what I'm saying? Everybody just needs a chance to ball out.
So that's Anthony Miller, and this is a guy who, you know, has had his ups and downs in his first 3 years in the league. There have been occasional suggestions from the coaching staff that the focus wasn't there, or the study, or whatever it may be. He's been good about visiting with the media this year. Again, I was on the call. You have to sometimes read expression and tone in these days of virtual interviewing. But I don't know, Pat, Olin mentioned it. I don't know if you'd heard it before. What do you think?
I guess you got to go back to, I'm going to ask you the question, how have his other interviews gone? You know, has he answered questions similarly? Has he given the right answer? And I'm not calling out, is he smart or dumb? It's just, does he know how to answer questions correctly? Do you know what I'm saying? In the past, has he done something like this?
Yes. My sense is that Anthony actually is smart, but he is young, and he can be a little immature sometimes. Right. And the answer is yes. There have been other times when you're hearing what he's saying and you're thinking to yourself, that's probably not exactly the way Mike Furry, the wide receiver coach, or Bill Lazor would like to hear it answered. And that's why I kind of gave him the benefit of the doubt on that one. But he was so specific about practicing him and executing. Yeah. And, that's, I think, what got everybody thinking on this.
Yeah, and sometimes in immaturity, you get a lot of honesty, right? Like, my young daughters tell me I'm really baldy. I like them to say it a different way, but they don't. You know, they just look at you and say, Dad, why is there an M on your head? Well, I didn't draw that in. I'm losing hair. But sometimes they're really honest, and Anthony Miller was being honest there, and sometimes out of that you get what guys are talking about in that locker room. And sometimes as a coach, man, when you're the 31st ranked offense and a 32nd ranked rushing offense and you're only scoring about 19 points a game, sometimes you got to say, okay, what did we run well in practice? What are they saying? And even though you don't want them to say it in that way, if that's the way the players are feeling, it's kind of like what the Lions are doing, right? They're just change everything. Let's try to run something they're comfortable with. Last week we talked about Mitch Trubisky's interception. My first thought is, why is he in a seven step drop back on first down, on the plus side of the field? Why are you putting him in that situation? Boot him out, give him an easy throw. So anyway, going back to what Miller said, I think there's something to that where the players are feeling that way, that maybe the plays we're running in practice that we're running really well, they're not calling them in the games. And if that is true, the offensive staff has to take a good look at what they're doing and maybe call a few of those plays.
All right, guys, we're going to break. As I mentioned, Where Are They Now? It's Terrence Metcalf. And looking forward to visiting with him about his Bears career, about his son who is taking the NFL by storm. I know that Olin and Patrick have got their own fun stories they want to relive with Terrence. We're going to do that right on the other side of this break. Guys, it's tough times around the NFL and even in Chicago. We're talking about various issues that the Bears are trying to fix to stop this 5-game losing streak. There is actually a national report out there this morning as of about an hour ago. Perhaps ownership more disturbed with Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy than some realize, that if there is a coaching search, it will focus on Northwestern's Pat Fitzgerald. That's not a hard connection to make if there is a coaching search. We'll talk a little bit about that as well. We've got the Chicago Bears and the NFL covered for you right here. That's why you've got the best pregame in town, the Bet Rivers Bears pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. A lot more to come after this very quick commercial break right here at The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Where are they now? Hub Arkish, Patrick Manley, and Olin Krutz.
All right, I think we got Thomas Jones joining us now. Thomas, your ears better be burning because we were talking all good things about you.
Catching up with former Bears players and staff each week to see...
Where are they now? Kyle Orton is right here.
Where are they now?
The general manager of the Indianapolis Colts, Chris Ballard, now an NFL Executive of the Year, also a longtime Chicago Bears scout and member of the Bears front office.
Where are they now?
So is Roberto Garza the first base coach or the third base coach?
Bro, I'm the dugout coach. I'm not getting put in the field.
That is Charles Peanut Tillman, one of the all-time great Chicago Bears, one of the all-time great Chicago people.
Where are they now? On the Bet Rivers Sportsbook pregame show on Sports Radio 670 The Score. Brought to you by Bet Rivers Sportsbook. Go to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app from the App Store now. And MailMedChicago.com, where a full head of hair is the winning play.
Welcome back, everybody, to our Bet Rivers pregame show here at 670 The Score. And yes, it is time for Where Are They Now? I know this has become my favorite segment of the week here on The Score, as we get to visit with guys with long Chicago Bears histories. And this week we are going to go out to the offensive line. That should surprise everybody, with my partners here, Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, and welcome in Terrence Metcalf. Terrence, a Chicago Bear for 7 seasons, actually had a year after he left Chicago where was with the Lions. I don't think played any games for them that year, but we've got that connection as well. And Terrence, we really appreciate you taking time out for us this morning. And you know, there's an interesting little, I guess to me anyway, piece of trivia about your career. The Bears' third round pick in 2002, that was actually the first draft of the Jerry Angelo regime. He was hired in the summer of 2001, prior to that great run. You get drafted in the third round by the Bears. You're joining the NFC's number one seed. And then your first year in the NFL, traveling to Champaign for home games, everybody on the roster gets hurt, the whole thing comes apart. Had to be kind of a rough introduction to the Chicago Bears and the NFL for you, I'm going to guess.
Well, first, man, I want to thank you guys for having me on. But I would say, you know, surprising just to be drafted to Chicago. I grew up in the Chicago area, Milwaukee area, so it was just great for me just to return there. And, you know, it was the luck of the draw, man. And some of the guys that I came in with, you got them on the show with you right there, Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, man, just awesome to be in with you guys this morning for the pregame show. But it was no big feat, man. I was just like everybody else. We had to deal with the Champagne situation, and you know how it went those first 2 years that we did have to travel there with all the injuries and the outcome of the season. It definitely wasn't what anybody expected, you know.
Metcalf, what's up, man? It's good to have you on the show this morning. It's Olin. I just wanted to ask you, we just check in with how your whole family's doing, how Tanya and all the kids are doing. I think you have 6 like I do, so I know it's a crazy house down there, but just check in what's going on with everybody, with your family, and what you're up to.
Yeah, well, what we're doing right now as far as business-wise, man, we're running our sports management company. You know as well, my son is in the league now, and there are things that he has going on that we try to manage for him, and things that we manage for ourselves as a family. So it's TT Metcalf Sports Management. But everybody's doing well, Olin, man. We've had 2 to graduate, and one's a big senior this year, man. So it's just exciting around the house. Tanya's doing well. To you both, man, I hope, you know, Wendy and Tamara are doing well, man. So, you know, we all had a big family when we were there in Chicago together, man. I really enjoyed everything. But everybody's well. And congratulations to you as well, brother, with Josh signing, well, committing to Illinois, man.
I appreciate it, brother, Matt.
Hey, Matt, it's good to hear you. Hey, yeah, man. Matt, last time I saw you was at a Duke football game with Coach Cutcliffe, your old Ole Miss head coach, was recruiting DK.
Oh, yeah.
How the heck did he not close on him, and why did he go to Ole Miss?
Well, one thing he wanted to do, man, you know, we're in Mississippi, wanted to stay home, but we really love Cut, and, you know, we visited Duke every year just about and spend time at the camp, man. So, you know, it's just a family up there at Duke as well, but Ole Miss is closer to home, so he'd come home, grab dinner if he needed to, or we needed to get something to him, we can get it right there 5 minutes up the road. So, you know what I'm saying? Just like that, we just excited for him to be close to us.
Terrence, only if we would have got him. We would have been a top five team.
Right. Hey, you guys are doing well with Cut up that way though, man.
Yeah, he is a good football coach and a good man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man.
Terrence, I'm curious, you know, we're all obviously dealing with the realities of this virus and travel restrictions and stuff like that. As you've mentioned, DK is your son, now a superstar with the Seattle Seahawks. Have you guys, are you able to travel to see him play, or do you have to sit and watch at home? I would imagine it's got to be a little disappointing if, in fact, you can't even get to a lot of these games right now. How has that gone for you?
Well, this season, we've managed to go to whatever stadium allow fans. We've traveled to those stadiums, but we will travel to Seattle, sit at the house, watch the game so that we can at least greet him when he walk in the door, regardless if it was a high game for him or things didn't go like he planned for it to go. We just wanted to be there to support in any way we can, you know. So that it's still been good to me, you know. Everybody got to make adjustments. And just like everybody does, you know, we just fit in what we can fit in, and what we can't control, we try not to even worry about it. You know, games that we know that they're not going to allow fans in, we just catch it on at home, but try to be in Seattle as much as we can.
Hey, Metcalf, man, are you still coaching over there at Pearl River Community College?
You know, when DeKalen got drafted, man, it kind of took my time away where mm-hmm. I couldn't go to every game like I wanted to. Mm-hmm. So I kind of stepped away from coaching for right now, especially during this pandemic. You know, I didn't want to put myself in a situation where I could put him in harm's way going back to his crib and taking any kind of ailment to him. So as much as I can stay indoors with the family, I do it. And that's mainly why I stepped away from coaching. But once this thing clears up, hopefully I'll get back into it, man, because I mean, you know, you guys know there's no joy like that, man. You can sow into another person's life. It's big time.
I was reading, it gave me goosebumps. In Hawaii, we call it chicken skin. But I read an article where you were at a game watching DK play, and he slammed a guy, took him off the field and slammed him on the track. And just, you know, just that kind of mentality that you were teaching. I was thinking about how when you're coaching the kids, what do you preach them about football and how it should be played and actually how it all relates to life?
Well, one of the main things, you know, is take discipline and the work ethic to be what you want to be. Everybody got the aspiration of being in the NFL or going to a Division I institution. Well, all of us know what it takes to get there from a work standpoint and understanding to hone your craft, so know what you need to know from a knowledge standpoint, but your technique is key. And so I just took the things that I was taught by coaches from middle school to high school to college to the pros and just implemented that to the kids and really try to get them to understand that, you know, you got to learn this game beyond the weight room, beyond running, you know, beyond you know, just the camaraderie on the field. You got to have a knowledge and a mindset, man, of a professional. And you know, I can go with from my son. When he was in middle school, I always taught him to train like you're in high school. When you're in high school, train like you're at that Division I institution. And then when you get to college, man, you have to set yourself apart because only 1% of individuals go to the NFL. And so, you know, that's the mindset of a pro. Be a pro every day. And I learned that, you know, in college and especially when my time in Chicago with us doing different things together as a group, man, and I understand what it really meant to be a pro. And, You know, so I know he takes that to heart every day. And the kids that I have been blessed to sow into their lives, I can definitely tell those, the ones that took it to heart, those are the successful ones.
Hey, Metcalf, you're a great role model, a great dad. And you just talked about how, you know, you raised your kids. And but now that he's gone, how often does DK call you for advice? You know, if things are going on in practice or with coaches or life or anything like that, how often is he calling you for football advice and life advice?
Well, we know, guys, we understand the stresses of this game, especially when you get to the NFL,
right,
and how political it can be. And so understanding, you know, being your own individual. So I pretty much talk to him every day after practice just to kind of see how the day went. You know, I don't try to be so much of a parent, but I try to be a mentor, a voice, and something that, you know, to kind of give him the direction when it's a stressful day. Hey, take your time, separate yourself. You know, you got to be mindful of how you handle yourself because it's a business at the end of the day. So we try to talk to him every day, and not just about football, but just about life things and making sure he's understanding the business side. Also understanding the you got to be an individual. You got to be able to talk and express yourself. So I ain't no day I'm not going, you know, as a parent, right, try to sow into his life. You know, unless he just say, hey, Dad, look, you know, I'm good, step off. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But it's been a blessing, man, truly, because he still hears it. He still allow us to be that mentoring voice in his life, you know, to say things that we see that may be perceived as a negative. But never lose the aggression, never lose the work ethics, but, you know, anything that may be perceived as a negative, he'll still hear our voice. So that's what I love about this whole situation right now.
This segment is brought to you by Amazon. You're listening to the Bet Rivers Bears pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com. And this is our Where Are They Now segment. Former teammate of Patrick Manley and Olin Kreutz, Terrence Metcalf, good enough to stop by this morning. And Terrence, I don't want this to sound like, you know, I knew or I get him right because I'm wrong more than I'm right. But I remember sitting there during that 2019 draft. We were all working together on the air, actually, Olin and Pat and myself, and watching the first round go by, and then early in the second round, and DK is still sitting there, and I'm thinking, what the hell is the matter with these people? You know, the Bears didn't have a pick until the third round that year, so they weren't players. So where I'm going with this is, okay, the Bears missed out on one. I know you've got the six kids. I don't know what order they come in, boys or girls. You got any more wide receivers for your old Bears family coming?
Man, look like linebackers.
We'll take linebackers. That's okay.
One question I did ask him, I said, what if Chicago had drafted you? And man, he couldn't, you know, if that had happened, that would have been another godsend, another blessing for him. So he really do, he's a huge Chicago fan just because, you know, that's our family. So,
well,
yeah,
just
man,
remind him now,
love that.
Free agency is only a couple of years away. You know, don't let him lose that thought.
No, let's pray, man. Let's pray.
Hey, Metcalf, I see you do a lot of, like, I saw you were doing some O-line, like an O-line academy you had going on. I know you coach. You're about to call plays there, maybe assistant offensive coordinator. Just wondering, what kind of techniques you taught? Who was your biggest influence once you started coaching? I know when I started coaching my kids, I kind of had to sort through everything, and you got to come up with your own style. I was wondering what style you ended up with when you started teaching O-line techniques and fundamentals.
Come on, man. You know I got to come back to you and the things that we learned through touch. Come on, OG. You know, I pulled out the hand mitts, make the guys do the focus mitts, put the bag on the wall, make them do the four different phases of punching on the wall, and then just – for the center, man, just the way he his flexibility. So the Bosu ball was very important, and just teaching those guys things that I learned from Harry Heastand while I was there with the Bears. You know, and then in college, I had a really good technician and Hugh Knowles and John Latina. Those are my two O-line coaches. So really, really, man, the toughness and the mental aspect of it, I took that from what we had in Chicago. I really felt like we defined that team the entire time that I was there. And I believe in that. If the O-line brings that mental toughness, that physicalness to the football field, then your team at least got an opportunity, you know. And so I really go back to our days in Chicago and a couple of O-line coaches that I had that taught technique the proper way. But, you know, but you take your own, like you said, you take your own from each and every part of it. But some of it was important, and I felt like with the handwork, the footwork, that I had to incorporate in those kids' lives. And I got about four guys on the Division I level from Pearl River Community College, which were all tackles that had the frame and they had the athleticism. And God bless them to take what I was able to teach them and move on to the next level.
Well, what's those guys' names, Matt?
Ivory Scott over at Arkansas State, Gerald Bell over at Troy, and the other two kids, well, my first 2 years there, they've already graduated. Now they're working in Birmingham right now.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yep, hey, Terrence, when you look back on our time all together with the Bears, what are some of your favorite memories or times we all had together?
Man, one, some of just our O-line dinners that we would have on Thursday night.
Be careful now.
Don't tell any stories. Don't tell any stories.
Never go in depth. And then just the locker room times, you know, just guys just really sharing in each other's lives, man, and the families. I can remember coming in as a young player with two kids, and then as that year went on, we had more people having babies, and you know what I'm saying, family just coming together, family days, and then, man, just the grinding on the practice field. Always miss that, you know, and the guys having each other back at regardless of what was going on the practice field. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I really enjoyed that, man. Miss it every day and try to teach that to kids all the time.
Terrence, it is great to hear you sounding so well. Great to hear about all the good fortune coming your way and your family's way. We really appreciate you taking time out for us this morning. And hopefully, as things get back to normal and travel becomes easier, we look forward to seeing you back in Chicago again real soon as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank you guys, man. I appreciate y'all having me on again.
That was great catching up.
Terrence Metcalf, former Chicago Bears offensive guard, offensive lineman. Terrence, 7 years here with the Bears before moving on to Detroit for an off season. He is, of course, the father of DK Metcalf. That is very much to his credit. But Terrence, with his own great NFL career with the Bears and now enjoying watching his son become a superstar with the Seattle Seahawks. We are going to take a very quick break this week, and it's a special week. The Bears are back home. We got Grody off the couch. We got Grody on the field. That is coming up next right here on our Bet Rivers pregame show presented by MailMedChicago.com.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station. We're back with Grody on the field, Chicago Bears sideline reporter for WBBM News, Mark Grody, getting the latest information and stories leading up to game time. Brought to you by Bet Rivers. Mark Grody on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Welcome back, everybody. Time flying by this morning with great guests early. Lomas Brown, the perennial all-pro tackle of the Detroit Lions in the first hour, getting us up to speed on that ball club. And then former teammate of Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley, 7 year Chicago Bear, Terrence Metcalf, offensive guard of the early aughts, if you will, 2002 through 2008. Just visited with us on our Where Are They Now segment. And, of course, Terrence is also the father of DK Metcalf, one of the two or three brightest young rising superstars in the NFL right now. Now, however, we head out to Soldier Field for our very own superstar, the Score's Mark Grody. Grotes, of course, is our Bears beat reporter all week long And on Sundays, you hear him on the Hometown Call on our sister station, WBBM News Radio, 780, 105.9 on your FM dial. Mark will be broadcasting the game along with Jeff Joniak and Tom Thayer. Mark, welcome in. How you doing today? And let us know what you know so far about who's dressing and who isn't for the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, a lot going on here, gentlemen. Let me give you the inactives really quick. Artavis Pierce, Lachavius Simmons, Daniel McCullers, James Vaughters is out. And we find that Riley Ridley is back on the inactive list, and that is because Javon Wims will return today for the first time since November 30th when he, you know, punched a guy against the Saints and was suspended and then probably disciplined by the team too because he then had been inactive after that. So Wims returns. Other notable guys on the Bears that are active today who had been banged up throughout the week. Khalil Mack will play today despite the back injury. I saw he didn't go through all of his usual pregame routine. He was a little bit more careful out there, working one-on-one with a trainer. So that's something that I'm going to keep an eye on throughout the game, Khalil Mack. Akeem Hicks will return, and we know how much that means based on what the Packers were able to do last week. Yes, Darnell Mooney and Allen Robinson are good to go. They both had knee injuries and were limited in practice. And then there he is. Nick Foles returns as QB2. He will be the backup quarterback to Mitchell Trubisky. And real quick on the Detroit side, Kenny Golladay is out for Detroit. No big surprise there. Jeff Okuda, their first-round pick in the secondary, inactive today, as is their running back, their rookie, DeAndre Swift, the guy who, if he had caught that pass the first time the Bears played against Detroit, we could be looking at a really different Bears season at this point. So a lot to take in right there, guys.
Yeah, there is, Mark. You mentioned a lot of guys injured, and you look at the injury list this week, and there was a bunch of guys questionable. So that gets me a little nervous about Khalil Mack if he's not doing kind of full pregame and, you know, that maybe it was just one of those normal weeks of rest for him. But the other guys, how much was it rest just being later in the year and how much is it truly dealing with injuries and how limited could they be today?
Yeah, you know, Matt Nagy made a point of saying that during some of the Zooms this week that they are at that point in the season where when they can give guys a chance to rest, they're going to do it. However, they're usually pretty transparent on the injury report in that regard by saying this is just a rest day for a veteran or a veteran's day off, however they want to characterize it. So, you know, the Mooney and Robinson things had my antenna up just because both knee injuries, but I watched them very closely in pregame and I didn't sense any kind of difference in their routines during the game or the way they were moving or anything like that. So I think in the cases of those guys, maybe they were just being allowed to take it easy this week just based on what I saw with my eyes. I should also point out too that Charles Leno Jr. is good to go. I was thinking that he might not play this week, actually a left tackle, but he was out there and he was going through his full routine as well.
Hey Grody, wondering this week, I know that Akeem Hicks being out, it was a really big part of what we saw, how the Packers ran the ball and basically just ran right in the middle of that defense and Roquan Smith, guys getting up to the second level on him. But also the first week against the Lions, they didn't stop the run very well either. 29 rushes, 138 yards for the Detroit Lions. Just kind of interested to see what they're saying around the team all week and what went wrong with their run defense besides Akeem Hicks being out.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point. I mean, Adrian Peterson looked rejuvenated in that first game against the Bears. And it's always even, you know, because of the standard that they had set in 2018, it's just always alarming when you see guys running big chunk plays against this Bears defense. I think a part of it, Olin, from what they were saying, and one thing they would not back down on, is that they were missing tackles. That, you know, that was it, especially towards the end of the game where you started to see them, you know, noticeably going for the ball as opposed to going for the tackles. But that wasn't the case early on in the game. There were just huge holes being opened up by the Packers offensive line. And, you know, that coupled with the missing of tackles. And sometimes, too, you do become too dependent on one guy, in this case, Akeem Hicks, to do a lot of the work, whether it's actually making the tackles or gobbling up a couple of blockers and doing the dirty work that he did. And quite frankly, nobody picked up the slack last week. Now, based on the words that were used this week, you know, the language that Matt Nagy used, the motivation, some of the articles that were written, I have a feeling you're going to see a different Bears defense, properly motivated. You could say that they were probably motivated as well when somebody as credible as Tony Dungy comes out and says that they look like they had quit. So I think you will see a different version of the Bears defense this week.
You know, Mark, I think some positive and some puzzling news on these actives and inactives. That's usually the story with this coaching staff. Daniel McCullers has gotten a lot of snaps in recent weeks, and yet, you know, I talked to Akeem Hicks on Friday about the hamstring. I think you were on that call too, and he had indicated that he felt really good about it. If McCullers is inactive today, they must be confident that Akeem Hicks is 100% and should be able to go for 60 minutes. But then I flip it around. I just don't get, you know, what we've seen the last couple of weeks. Javon Wims is not a better receiver than Riley Ridley. You know, now he is a more valuable special teams asset. I guess that could have something to do with this. But I also wonder what is different about him and Ridley is that he is more the outside possession, big red zone type target that Allen Robinson is, or even Mooney, who plays more on the outside, while Ridley may be more the slot type. And I wonder if it's probably the special teams consideration, but could also be a hedge about a better fit in that position if Robinson is not 100% with that knee?
It's a great question. And I was actually told that Javon Wims was a big part of what they were doing in practice this week at wide receiver. And as we know, that hasn't always translated to what happens in the game, a Bears practice to a Bears game, but that, yes, that he was a big part of that. And yeah, a little bigger, a little stronger type of guy. But I too was surprised when I had to do a double take on the inactives. I was kind of breezing through them, you know, kind of looking at and thinking there was nothing really out of the ordinary. And I said, oh wait, yeah, I knew Wims would be back this week, but I didn't necessarily think it would be at the expense of Riley Ridley, because this time around, with the play that he's gotten, I feel like he hasn't done anything to warrant not even getting a uniform. You know, there were times last year where it looked like he looked a little bit like he didn't know, you know, his timing was off, and there were moments where I was like, okay, you know, we don't need to see more of Riley Ridley. But at this point, that surprised me too, why you wouldn't want to see more of Ridley, but maybe we just kind of work through it there with his size and his ability in the red zone.
All right, Mark, you said Foles is active, right? So we know that Mitch is given the ball now, but is there, I got to ask the question, any chance that if he really stumbles that they go back to Foles just to see what he can do?
I mean, you always got to start something, Pat, man.
I do, because it's there were times last week I'm watching the game,
right.
And I'm like,
you're right.
And I'm like, would Foles be better? I don't know. With this O-line that looked improved, would he be better back there? I've got to bring it up.
All in, we need the drama, okay? The team is under 500. They've lost five in a row. We need something to talk about, brother. So, Patrick, I do think that if the Bears are going to back up what they've been saying, and one of the things they've been saying is that, yes, we still think we are alive for the playoffs. We want to run the table. You know, we're going to go 1-0 this week. If you really believe that, then you always have to put your team in the best position to win. And if Trubisky is stinking it up out here today, and it would have to be blatantly bad, mm-hmm. then yes, absolutely, you go back to Foles. Or they're being disingenuous in what they're saying about wanting to win and still feeling like they're alive in the season. And I don't know how much you guys have talked about, but I feel like, you know, as if last week kind of wasn't last call, this is the last call. If they're to lose this game, then we know everything is just off the ramp.
Man, I am definitely interested to see how Javon Wims is a big part of this right. game plan today, man. You've piqued my interest, Grody.
Well, we'll see. I mean, we'll see. Just because he practiced a lot doesn't necessarily mean he'll be a part of it. Well, so that's for whatever it's worth, you know?
Yeah, I kind of have two questions. The first one to that point is, did you hear anything around the building after Anthony Miller said what he said about they need to run plays that they execute in practice? And then my second question is, any talk of their turnover differential up there and how they can they need to stop turning the ball over and how they can take the ball away more?
as far as Anthony Miller is concerned, yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row now where he has, you know, said, made some, I don't know if controversial, but bold statements about the team. He had said something the previous week, too, about, you know, this has been, the way the offense has been, it's been bad for everybody, as in nobody is getting theirs. Nobody is allowed to do what they think they can do because the whole system is broken. Those aren't his exact words, but that's kind of what he was getting at. Now, there really hasn't been any pushback from Anthony Miller, and it's tough too because, you know, with everything being on Zoom, it's so hard to get a feel for what it's really like with these players, what their demeanors actually are, other than that little window at practice. You know, we don't get to see everything going on in the locker room and the camaraderie that would come with that. So, you know, I talked to Buster Skrine on the phone the other day, and he told me this is the best. Like, he's been on some bad teams, man. I mean, he's been with the Jets in the past, and I forget his other team, but he told me that there's been times when, you know, there's been stuff thrown around and players stopped getting along, and he at least, for whatever it's worth, again, he told me this is the best organization he's ever been a part of in terms of maintaining that unity and not, you know, the proverbial losing of the locker room.
Yeah, Buster Skrine learned dysfunction in Cleveland. So
Cleveland, that's it. Yeah, that was it, Hub. That was it.
You talk about a couple bad examples. There you go. So from the Browns and the Jets, this has got to be nirvana for him. Mark, we got to bounce here. You know the clock here at the station, but thank you so much, as always, for your in-depth reporting. That is Mark Grody from the field with the actives and inactives. We will continue to kick it around as well as get to our Bet Rivers plays of the week after we take a very quick commercial break here at 670 The Score on the Bet Rivers pregame show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.